WKJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 9 o'clock, it's mostly clear and 37 degrees in Atlantic. We look for sunny skies today with a high near 60. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with the check of the latest local and state news brought to you by United Group Insurance with offices in Griswold and Atlantic. Well, patrons of the Exira and Elkhorn-Kimbleton Community School Districts have a chance to voice their concerns and ask questions about a potential reorganization of the Exira EHK school districts during meetings to be held tonight in Exira and next Thursday, the 29th, in Elkhorn. Exira EHK Superintendent Dr. Dean Schnoes says the districts have been whole grade sharing for the past couple of years and using each other's resources to save costs, but additional opportunities for cost savings will soon be going away.
June 30th of 2014, the supplemental money you get for whole grade sharing goes away. So if we're whole grade sharing and things are going well and all that, the next perk, if you want to call it that, that could be out there for the two school districts, if you consolidate, you can get your tax rate lowered per thousand for 3 years. And I would think that both districts would want to do that. But to get that, you have to reorganize.
The meeting tonight in Exira at the middle school lunchroom at 7 o'clock and at the same time November 29th in the EHK high school lunchroom is designed to gain input and guidance on what the districts need to do in order to make the reorganization and consolidation possible.
What questions are out there that people are still having? What do we need to find out? You know, because I might have to make some phone calls to the Department of Ed maybe, or I might have to call other people in education so that we can get some answers. We have the AEA directors, both directors from, one's coming from Green Hills and the other one is coming from Heartland, is going to be at the joint meeting Monday night so that they can explain what their role would be in reorganization and then answer any questions that the people have about as far as the AEA, what they do then when this comes about.
And the meetings are being facilitated to light a fire, so to speak, under the communities to get serious about the effort to reorganize. And Snow says that he's the temporary igniter for the cause.
Saying, okay, you know, this is going well. We need both districts to work together. It's been going well. Okay, now we're going to lose out on supplemental money. So our next step would be reorganization if you want to take advantage of tax breaks. I mean, that's what's going to have to come to the voters. Do they want to do that? And what do they have questions about? We need to find out so that we can answer people's questions so that, you know, we will be able to keep going and maybe get this one district together and take advantage of any other things that are out there. Because right now the two districts are really being able to use each other's resources to make one solid district of providing education for students.
I'll have more news in just a moment. News time is 9:03.
It happens. You listen to the voice telling you about all the money you'll save when you call 1-800-CHEAP-INSURANCE or apply online. So you do it. You think you made a wise choice, and you know your premiums will be the lowest you could find. But did that 800 number voice tell you he'd be there if you had a claim? Or did you read the fine print online? This is Donnie Drennan from United Group Insurance, your allied insurance agents in Atlantic. I hear it all the time from people who tell me they were told how cheap their premiums would be and that they bought the cheap coverage. But when it happened, they were left making phone calls, leaving messages, and playing phone tag. Then when the check came, it didn't come close. The problem is, cheap premiums don't necessarily mean premier service. When you give me the opportunity to serve you, you can trust that I'll do the research and show you a policy from Allied that will give you coverage to help you recover from the financial obstacles that can occur when it happens. Call me today, your Allied insurance agent in Atlantic. United Group Insurance, people you know, people you trust.
Southwest 8 Senior Services, the area agency on aging for Southwest Iowa, say they will host and facilitate a legislative roundtable discussion on Wednesday, November 28th from 10 a.m. until 11:30 a.m. The event will take place in Council Bluffs at the American Red Cross Building on the Charles Lake and Human Services campus. It's located at North 16th Street and Avenue G. Invitations were extended to all of the newly elected and reelected Iowa representatives and senators from the new districts. The legislators will begin service in their new designated districts when the Iowa session starts in January. And you are invited to join Southwest 8 to begin the conversation with our elected legislators about aging policy as we go forward in Iowa, where by the year 2030, 88 of the 99 counties will have over 20% of their populations aged 60 or older. There is no charge to attend the meeting, but seating is limited. You can call Kelly Butts at 800-432-9209 or 712-328-2540, extension 1013, by no later than November 26th to reserve your place at the meeting. or you can email Kelly Butts at kbutts@southwest8.org. Those numbers and that email address are under the same story on our webpage at kjan.com. Omaha school board members are taking steps to complete a second search for a superintendent after the first ended in a scandal. The Omaha World Herald reports that board members on Monday received a list of 68 candidates from the outside firm hired to help find the next leader of Omaha schools. The firm will cut the list to 6 semifinalists who will be interviewed later this month. 3 finalists will eventually be named, and the board hopes to announce a new superintendent December 17th after final interviews. The board is trying to replace John Macchiel, who retired in August after 15 years. You may recall in April, the board hired former Des Moines superintendent Nancy Sebring, but she withdrew in June after sexually explicit emails sent to and from her work account became public. The committee searching for the next University of Northern Iowa president will hear an update on that process. The committee meets today at UNI's Gilchrist Hall to discuss the timeline of the search, the status of candidates, and the next steps. Applications and nominations are currently due December 14th, and the panel is expected to recommend a slate of finalists to the Iowa Board of Regents. The university is looking for a successor for President Ben Allen, who has announced plans to step down next year. Students, employees, and alumni have been following the search efforts closely because it comes amid a tight budget that caused Allen to make deep cuts to academic programs. More than 570 Iowa homeowners have received mortgage relief, including loan modifications and refinancing worth more than $19 million, as part of a settlement with the nation's 5 largest mortgage banks. Iowa Attorney General Tom Miller says another $7 million will go to Iowa borrowers who lost their homes to foreclosure between January of 2008 and December of 2011 if their loan was serviced by one of the 5 providers. The relief is part of a $25 billion national settlement with J.P. Morgan Chase, Bank of America, Citigroup, Wells Fargo, and Ally Financial. Miller released the figures Monday as part of a progress report on the settlement with those banks. More than 130 scientists from Iowa colleges and universities say this year's drought is consistent with a warmer climate predicted as part of global climate change, and more droughts can be expected. Scientists and researchers from 27 Iowa colleges and universities signed the Iowa Climate Statement released on Monday. It says a warming climate causes wet years to be wetter and dry years to be hotter and drier. Those extremes lead to more flooding and drought, and Iowa has experienced both in recent years. The state was hard hit this year when drought spread across two-thirds of the country. The scientists say warming will continue as global emissions increase and greenhouse gases accumulate, and they expect a growing number of droughts as soon as the 2020s. Wastewater treatment plants will be required to make costly upgrades to gut pollution, while farmers would do so voluntarily under a long-awaited strategy that's meant to reduce harmful nutrients in Iowa waterways and the Gulf of Mexico. Governor Terry Branstad's administration released the 200-page strategy document on Monday after years of study. The U.S. Environmental Protections in 2008 ordered 12 states along the Mississippi River to develop strategies to prevent nitrates and phosphorus from reaching the Gulf of Mexico, where the substances harm marine and plant life. Iowa is one of the leading contributors of runoff, which comes from fertilizers and manure used in farm fields and wastewater and industrial plants. For the first time, the 130 largest such plants will be required to take additional steps to remove phosphorus and nitrogen. State and local officials dug in deep as they broke ground for a $1.4 billion fertilizer plant in southeastern Iowa. The ceremonial shovels were wielded Monday near the Lee County town of Weaver. Egypt-based Orascom Construction Industries and its subsidiary, the Iowa Fertilizer Company, acquired nearly 3/4 of a square mile of farmland just off U.S. Highway 61 for the factory. When completed by the summer of 2015, the plant is expected to employ about 165 full-time workers who will produce up to 2,200 tons of anhydrous ammonia per day. The state offered $110 million worth of tax breaks, loans, job training funds, and transportation improvements to get the company to build in Iowa. Lee County approved a property tax incentive that's worth about $130 million over the course of 20 years. And administrators say the increase of international students enrolled at the University of Iowa this fall is more than double the increase reported at universities and colleges nationwide. There are nearly 3,600 international students at the university this fall, compared with more than 3,100 last fall. The 2012 Open Doors report released by the Institute of International Education says the national jump was 6%, compared with the Iowa increase of around 14%. International program data says more than a third of the international students at the university in Iowa City are from China. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, the Obama administration is getting directly involved in the effort to end fighting between Israel and Palestinian militants in Gaza. Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton has left Cambodia for the Middle East, where she's supposed to meet with Israel's prime minister, as well as Palestinian officials in the West Bank and Egyptian leaders in Cairo. Stocks are opening lower on Wall Street today, a day after breaking out of their post-election slump. Hewlett-Packard is down after saying that the British economy, a company that it bought for $10 billion last year, lied about its finances. The government says builders started construction last month on the most homes and apartments since July of 2008. More evidence the housing recovery is gaining momentum. And yesterday, the Dow soared 207 points, with investors focused on signs over the weekend that congressional Republicans in the White House might be able to reach a deal on the federal budget. Federal investigators today plan to reenact events that led up to last week's collision between a train and a parade float carrying military veterans. The crash killed four veterans and left 17 people injured. And a child has been airlifted to a hospital after being shot on a school bus in South Florida. Miami-Dade police are investigating the shooting in Homestead on a private bus for the Miami area charter school. It's unclear whether the student was shot by someone on the bus or hit by a stray bullet. News time is 9:11.
After 21 trips from the truck to his dorm room, you finally have him moved in. You helped him set up everything from his computer to his microwave and mini fridge to the TV and Blu-ray, not to mention all the speaker wire. Now, have you thought about the idea that it happens, like a storm going through, knocking out all the power and frying all those electronics, or those nice young men down the hall through a huge party? Does he even lock his dorm room? It happens. This is Donnie Drennan from United Group Insurance, your allied insurance agent in Atlantic. Many insurance policies will cover your kid's stuff on your homeowner's policy when they're at school, but some don't cover his belongings if he lives in an apartment rather than the dorm. Some don't cover anything once he lives away from home. What does your policy say? Maybe it's time to review it. If you find that he may not be covered, I'll show you a renter's policy from Allied that will allow you to rest easy. Call today and let me help, because like Allied Insurance, I'm on your side. United Group Insurance, people you know, people you trust.
And in our funeral announcements this morning, Ralph Madison, age 84, formerly of Guthrie County, died November 10th in Chicago. Funeral services for Ralph Madison will be today at 11 o'clock at the All Saints Catholic Church in Stuart. Twig Funeral Home in Panora has arrangements. Robert Bob Branson, age 86, of Guthrie Center, died Sunday in Guthrie Center. Funeral services for Bob Branson will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at the First Christian Church in Panora. Twig Funeral Home in Panora has arrangements. Louise Dreher, age 90, of Audubon, died Tuesday at the Friendship Home. Celebration of Life Memorial Services for Louise Dreher will be held tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon. Anna Paulson, age 87, of Atlantic, died Sunday at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab. Funeral services for Anna Paulson will be tomorrow at 2 o'clock in the Atlantic Cemetery. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Atlantic has arrangements. Doris Lemke, age 92, of Panora and formerly of Adair, died Monday at Panora Nursing and Rehab. Funeral services for Doris Lemke will be held on Saturday, November 24th at 10:30 a.m. in the Adair Community Center. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Adair has arrangements. Craig Miner, age 64, of Shelby, died Sunday at Creighton University Medical Center in Omaha. Memorial services for Craig Miner will be held at a later date. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. And Holly Sue Gardner, age 43, of Glenwood, died Sunday at Jenny Edmondson Hospital in Council Bluffs. Funeral services for Holly Gardner are pending at the Reek and Veith Funeral Home in Oakland. Our news and funeral announcements were brought to you by United Group Insurance. People you know, people you trust. The Sky Scan forecast is next.